Join us to find out about the problems that midlife women have with body image and why they don't want to go down to the beach and wear a pair of bathers and how you can overcome that.
Hello and welcome. I'm here today with Lyndall Stenberg. Lyndall is an entrepreneur, an online store owner, a swimwear designer, and she is on a mission for all women to enjoy summer, which is like a big deal, particularly over here in Australia right now. We are coming up to the dreaded summer holidays. So crack right on in with it, if that's all right with you, Lyndall. Give a little bit of background about yourself, because I know you were, you've got a background in marketing and everything before you started this online swimwear thing, but tell me how you got started with all this. What happened? Because I'm sure you've got a story that we can all relate to.
I do have a story. So I was merrily working in marketing. So I worked with accounting firms and engineers and law firms. So this is quite a step jump to another career. But I was on the beach one summer with my daughter. I've got three kids. So my 12-year-old daughter, and she wanted a new rashi. And I thought, as we were on Phillip Island in Victoria, I thought this will be easy. We'll just whip down to the surf shop and we'll get her a rashi. We'll be back at the beach in no time. But of course, it wasn't easy. So we went to the local surf shop and they did have rashis, but they were all really skin tight. And that's not what she wanted. She wanted one that was a bit looser and it fit like a t-shirt. So we actually went all around the island and the same types of rashis were in every shop. And the only one that gave her that loose fitting style that she wanted was a men's rashi. And what 12-year-old girl wants to wear a men's rashi? And I looked around the beach and I actually noticed that the women on the beach with their kids were fully dressed. So they had like a sundress on, or they had shorts and t-shirt on. And they were not actually in the water with their kids and enjoying summer. And I thought, gee, that's, my daughter is moving into her teenage years and she's feeling self-conscious. And look at all these women who are feeling exactly the same. And really, I knew I felt exactly the same. Unfortunately, I'd passed that lack of confidence down to my own daughter. So I decided to do something. So I returned from the summer holidays. I did a whole lot of research on body confidence, beachwear, rashies, swimwear, and I found there's a really good range of supportive swimwear out there, underwire, shape sculpting. Anyway, I got home that summer and I decided to do some research because I'm very good at research. So I looked around at swimwear designs and there were a lot of designs that were body sculpting, shape shifting, underwire, supportive swimwear. And then I looked at rashies and they were all skin tight. And I personally didn't want to wear a sausage skin. That's why I'd never worn a rashie before. I wanted something that was loose enough that it didn't highlight every lump and ripple on my body. I wanted something just like my daughter. I wanted just a t-shirt to pop over bathers, and I wanted to be able to go swimming because I love swimming. And I also did a survey with some friends and friends of friends, and I found out that so many women stop going to the beach because they don't feel confident. And I know that one of my friends rented a beach house every year and she waved her family off every day and saw them at the other end of the day when they got home. And I just felt that's really sad. I've got to do something about it.
It's interesting that you say that about your daughter as well, because my youngest is exactly the same. She doesn't want to wear bikinis. She doesn't want to wear skin-tight rashies. And I hadn't even thought about that before, but she does buy men's rash vests because she can't find any that aren't tight, zip up, revealing, whatever. Just, yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah, and it's not unsurprising. There's a lot of pressure on kids these days growing up because social media is so prevalent with body perfection. And whatever somebody thinks body perfection is, whether it's very slim or big hips or big boobs or whatever it is, you can really feel disenchanted and disappointed with yourself when you look online all the time. And unfortunately for young girls, and I think even women my age, 53. We see a lot of that online, and it really makes us even more self-conscious than ever.
I think so. And like talking about my daughter, that's not actually the key topic here. It's a concern. And I've just noticed that I want to concern myself with that as opposed to actually face up to what the real problem is here, which is the fact that we hide as midlife women, older women who've had kids or women who have just lived their lives, we can our body image. One that doesn't want to wear the skin tight rashes tells me I've got massive body image problems, because I do feel like there is a pressure on there and I don't want my jelly belly to show. And I also don't want to wear the big padded underwire stuff or the sucky in stuff, because stuff sticks out the bottom of the sucky in
stuff. That's right. It just says whoop. But it was really interesting when I was doing my market research, and obviously the idea spawned from my 12-year-old daughter, but I decided to focus on more mature women, because kids, when they're young, they were continuing to do things, but I found that older women didn't. There's really good statistics through the Butterfly Foundation, which is to do with health and eating, and also Deakin University does a lot of research into health and eating issues. And the statistic, something like 70% of women stop doing things that they enjoy because they're too embarrassed of how they look. And this comment applies to swimwear, and it applies to activewear as well. So women might stop exercising or going to the gym because they're so self-conscious. And women might stop going to the beach because they're so self-conscious. So it is sad, and I wanted to do something about it, because there's nothing I love more than going to the beach, and I love swimming, and getting into the ocean is therapeutic as you get older, but it's also, it's fun to be with your kids or grandkids. And so I just wanted to find a way to help that problem, to help resolve that.
So what is it you designed? Because I know you designed swimwear, but I did look on the website and there's all sorts of beachwear and stuff there, isn't it? But what I liked about it was that it's based more around, I want to say comfort, but there's something more than that in there. It's almost like it's about feeling good without having to fit into a stereotypical norm. That's how it landed for me. What was it you wanted to come up
good.
With?
Good. That's how it's supposed to land. So I wanted something loose-fitting I could wear over my bathers, provided some protection, because we are in Australia and that's another issue, and you can get wet. So what my original collection was, rashy dresses. I think I had two or three different styles, and they're a dress made out of the swimsuit fabric that you wear over your bathers, and you can walk on the beach, you can splash, you can go for a dip, but it is loose fitting, so you actually feel like you're wearing like a really versatile outfit that allows you to do what you want to do when you go to the beach or pool or resort or cruise or wherever you are. It's just a great thing to wear over your bathers. So I wear bathers underneath mine. And the other great thing about wearing a rashie over the top, I can wear a bikini if I like under my bathers. And I can think, oh, great, I've got a bikini on today. But that's something that I know and I like to feel, and I don't want to necessarily show it to other people. What they see is my classic rashie over the top.
It's funny, isn't it? Because as you're saying that, I'm thinking there are very few middle-aged men who have a problem at all with stripping their shirt and just showing the world their bodies. And we go, I go, no, I need to be covered. I can't do this. And that's something that we also need to look at, isn't it? What are your thoughts from that kind of thing? Because it is so sad that we stop doing things because we're worried about how we look and what other people will think and how they judge us for what we're doing.
I think that men are developing these similar issues that we're talking about for women as well. And I know my husband's always worn a rashie, and I know lots of men who wear rashies as well. But I think that, I know this is just my own personal experience, but as a woman, my body's changed a lot. You develop as a teenager into a woman, all the classic things that happen, and then you have children and you get stretch marks. Your skin sort of sags and doesn't come back to where it was in the beginning. And then I've got sunspots and age spots, and my veins from being pregnant are more prominent. As I'm perimenopausal and going towards menopause, my skin's lost its elasticity. Yeah, I get raspberry spots. And so there's a whole lot of scars from life that a woman has that men don't necessarily have. So I think as a woman, my body is constantly evolving, and a man's body does evolve as well, but their story is quite different to that of a woman who's had children.
It is, yeah. Talk to me about, how do you want women to feel out of the clothes that you're creating, the swimwear and everything? What is the basic premise for everything that you offer?
Yeah, the basic premise is wear something that takes away the anxiety you have about summer, because fashion ultimately is a tool, and we wear makeup, for example, to make us look and feel better about ourselves. And we wear all sorts of different outfits and clothing to make us feel and look better and give us confidence. So the beach doesn't have to be, oh God, I don't want to wear bathers. The beach can be, oh, what can I wear that's going to give me the confidence to enjoy the things I want to enjoy and go back to the beach? So my message is, find something that takes away that anxiety, which is what I've tried to deliver. Grab a friend, go to the beach and dare yourself to take a swim. Because it takes courage to build confidence, not just an outfit.
That's one of the key things, isn't it? We lose our confidence in ourselves.
Yep. It's been really interesting launching and running this business, because I talk to women all the time about how they feel about summer and the beach. And sometimes I do design markets, and it's really interesting. And the sort of the demographic of a design market is middle-aged and older women. And when they stop and say, oh, what are you doing? And I explain what I do, they'll say, oh, that's not for me. I don't go to the beach anymore. And that I don't go to the beach anymore is specifically because of these reasons we've been talking about. So there are options to go to the beach again. So I encourage all women to explore them.
It's so sad, isn't it? And I think most of the time we don't even realise that these things are creeping up on us. When the kids are little and we go down to the beach, we are too busy doing life-saving duties to do anything other than stand on the beach prepared to go in if we need to, like that's it, or breaking up fights or whatever we're doing. And then, and I'm just talking about my own experience here, you get out of the habit of doing anything that you enjoy doing for the sake of doing it. And that's, oh my God, I've got to make all this effort. I've got to figure out what I'm going to wear. Yeah. I just can't. So it becomes,
I'd rather not do it. Yeah. And that's the courage, isn't it? That's the courage thing, that courage builds confidence. And you would know that Taryn Brumfitt is the Australian of the Year this year, and her messaging is all around body image. So it is something that we're now talking about as a community. So hopefully the self-acceptance will continue to develop. And I know that internationally in Spain, they had a really fantastic body image campaign where they showcased all different shapes and size women on the beach and enjoying summer. And I think we really do just have to remember that our bodies tell a story, and we can share the story with other people. And if we don't want to share that story, we choose fashion and we use it as a tool just to make ourselves embrace summer, to use Taryn's mantra, embrace summer and embrace yourself.
How did you do it for yourself? How did you find the courage to go back and do that?
I've always been a researcher, and I've always had a can-do attitude. People think of me as a confident person. I don't feel that I think of myself as a particularly confident person. But what I do to develop that courage to take these kinds of steps is I do a lot of research and planning. And that's the kind of, that's the other tool that I use personally to build confidence. And on my journey with this company, Esuna, I've had a mentor, which has been super helpful. And it's, my mentor is a woman who specializes in female founders and leaders, which I think has been really important for me, because I found that I had an inner critic. Everyone has an inner critic. You've got one critic inside saying, don't do that, you can't do that. And then another little voice saying, oh, sure you can do it. What are you talking about? You've done these things before, do it. So I worked with her just to analyze that inner critic and to quieten it down a bit and have that little positive bird on my shoulder backing me. And it was a really interesting process of recognizing just how forceful that inner critic was, and then learning how to deal with it. And the way that we dealt with it was, and I'm still dealing with it every day, is to, she would set me challenges. And I know that this time last year I did my first podcast interview. That was one of my challenges. Another challenge that I did was a girlfriend and I brought Ali Daddo to Adelaide. And we organized this fantastic night of 200 women coming together to hear Ali talk about her book, Queen Menopause. And a couple of weeks before she arrived in Adelaide, we had a journalist who was going to MC the evening and interview her. And unfortunately, that person pulled out. And I thought, I can do this. Like, I've never interviewed a former Dolly cover girl before, but I can do this. And I had this critic on my shoulder saying, no, you can't do this. And so my mentor said, you can do it. You can do it. All you have to do is prepare and believe in yourself. And I did it. The night was sensational. And I had women from the audience coming up to me and congratulating me on this great interview. I had a lady, she attends Writers Week in Adelaide, and she said, oh, who are you interviewing at Writers Week this year? I was like, I'm not interviewing anyone. This is the first one that I've ever done. But I obviously carried it off because, yeah, it went really well. So that's my inner critic has been my biggest hurdle, I would say, in growing my business. And it continues to peck at me, and I've got to listen and take action instead of listen and not take action.
Yeah, that's a big difference, isn't it? Listen, like you can hear it, but you just got to learn how to keep going anyway, just to do what you want anyway. And it's yes, the same thing yeah, that applies to going down to the beach too. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I can do that. That's what I have to say.
Yeah. This isn't the first business you've done, is it? Or is it?
No, so I started my career as a marketer working in other businesses. And then in 2016, I think it was, I stepped out of the accounting firm I was working in and I set up my own marketing consulting business. So I became a marketing consultant for professional services. So that was the first big step. That was before I had the mentoring, so I did it without that. But again, my natural tendency is to research, figure out if I can do it, and then prepare for that departure. So they were great, that firm I worked with, and they hired me to come back immediately and continue doing some of the work for them. So it was a soft start for me in that business, because I was supported by the people around me. It was really good. But I think that was different because it was the same career trajectory, just an independent version of it, whereas Esuna is, it's a completely different direction. And I suppose if I'm honest, when I was in high school, I did a sewing class in high school as one of the subjects at the school I went to. I loved it. And in year 10, I did a work experience with a fashion designer in Melbourne. And I was thinking, yep, I'm going to be a fashion designer. And I never became one until my mid 40s.
Do you design everything in your collection? Are they your designs? And who makes them? Making's a problem for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, so I did a fashion startup course with a company in Melbourne, and that was really helpful because the other thing was I knew nothing about the industry except for I bought clothes at a shop. I knew there were fashion parades. But there's so much jargon surrounding the industry that was foreign to me. And also I didn't know the supply chain processes and even the process of designing something. So I did that startup course and it was a really great way. It was a hand-holding way to launch your first collection. That was really good. And then I had my range made by a company here in Adelaide because that's the other, that's where I live in Adelaide. The other thing I wanted to do was support Australian industry. It was really important to me to do that. Unfortunately, last year, before I say that, that was a really great place to get my products made because I could physically go there. And the lady who ran the company was just so fantastic and patient, teaching me a novice the ins and outs of how you run a production of a garment. So that was really excellent. But unfortunately, they closed down last year. So I moved my manufacturing to Melbourne, which it was also great. They're a great company. And I feel that I know more about the production process. So being at arm's length in Melbourne is not as big an issue as it would have been when I first started. So that's the way I do it. When I look at designs, I look at different women's, I look at different body types, whether you're big chested or a tummy or hip issues, because different women have different thoughts about areas they want to cover up. Some want long sleeves, some don't like their arms. So I try to make sure that I've got something in my range for, okay, I want to cover my arms up, or I'm a bit, my skin's really sensitive. I need to have full coverage. So then I would have long sleeves and a longer dress, long pants. So I try to make sure that I've got something for every issue a woman can think of.
Wow. So when you go on your website, do you have, and I haven't looked at this, do you have a little section for women who are top heavy or women who are pear-shaped? Do you do that kind of thing, or do you just say it in the description? How does it work?
Oh, in the description. And if you go to the page that the size chart's on, you can scroll down and see different shaped women in the same outfit. And I also work really closely with this fantastic lady called Anita, and her business is Sequins and Sand, and she's like a swimwear concierge. So you can talk to her about your body and your shape, and she recommends a style that suits you. So she's been another fantastic supporter of me in helping me and pointing things out in this design. This would be good this way because. So she's been terrific.
Mm. Why do you think there aren't more people doing what you do?
It's hard. It is hard. And I think that there are other providers. I launched, and even before I launched, there were different types of rashes beginning to come out, and there's a zip front sort of swimsuit rashy with long sleeves that was launched before my own. It's difficult launching a range. It's really expensive launching a range. Having products made locally is more expensive than overseas. It's a hard thing to do. It's not easy. And without passion behind you, it's not as easy to propel a new idea if you're not passionate. So I suppose you've got to find the ingredients of what's the problem I'm trying to solve? How do you solve it? Do I have the passion about this problem that I want to launch a new business? Can I identify a market that will buy my products that actually will fund my business? All of these questions are things that you have to ask yourself in starting a business. Yeah, everybody's different and sees different things, and this is what I saw and decided to act on.
Is there something that you would say to women? Because you must have spoken to so many women as you've been creating this business. We spoke earlier about how women are frightened of going to the beach. They avoid doing things that involve them having to show off their body or feeling uncomfortable. I totally get that. But having spoken to all these women, what is the biggest problem that you see that we need, not necessarily to do with swimwear, but what is it we need to address? What is the most urgent thing we need to address?
The women I speak with, nobody's the same. The women I speak with all have a different body issue that they would like some sort of way of addressing or solving. And the women who buy my outfits are women who want to solve a problem. They're really kind of desperately trying to find something that will help them. And I remember early on, one of my first sales was to a grandma in Queensland who had her grandchildren every holiday. And she'd had cancer treatment, which meant that she was more sensitive to UV rays and she wasn't allowed to go in the sun as much anymore. And she said every morning she watched Grandpa go with the grandkids to the beach, and it really broke her heart. And when she found my product, it gave her that life back again. there's other women who, one lady, I know she had also from cancer treatment, she had edema. So she had one arm that was bigger than the other arm. And she was self-conscious about that. And in her daily clothes, she could easily find something that she could cover her arms up. But on the beach, she couldn't find anything because these rashies that were available were all skin tight, whereas my sleeves were looser. So it was, that issue wasn't resolved until she came across what I do. So I think the women recognize an issue about themselves that they want to resolve, and they find me, or I help them to find me.
Do you have another business? You're involved in women in business as well, aren't you? In a network or something, or a group? What is it you do there? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I'm on a steering committee called Making Her Mark. And that is a program designed to get women and girls into non-traditional industries. So that program, similar to my own business of helping women to find the courage and giving them a tool to find their courage, this program helps women and girls to find courage to step into non-traditional careers. And it's been really rewarding. My background in marketing is with professional and technical services, and often in industries like defence and engineering, which I've done a lot of work in, the percentage of women is really low. And in fact, in STEM subjects in high school and university, the representation of women is far smaller than that of men's. And then when you look in industries like construction and mining, the percentage of women, particularly in technical roles, is quite small. So that, you might see that I'm a bit passionate about this kind of thing. So that's been really good, being on that committee and help to establish that campaign, particularly targeting high school girls to start with. So the organisation Making Her Mark has a whole range of ambassadors, and they go and talk to girls in high school about stepping into a non-traditional career. And also we have a kit on how do you take steps to study STEM or to work in a non-traditional industry. So that's been a really fantastic initiative that I've been involved in.
What got you involved with that?
That's an odd story. I did an entrepreneurship program through Flinders University. I was a mentor for some of those women on that program, and I met this fantastic couple of ladies, Darlene and Penny, and became friends with, and they had a startup idea, and so I mentored them through that program. And then I became friends with Darlene, who ended up being the woman who ran Making Her Mark at the outset. So that's how I got involved in that. She and I are equally passionate about this thing.
Is this a national program?
It's, anyone can access the website and resources, but it's operated in South Australia. So the speakers go to South Australian schools. But I was going to say, right, I've got three children, one boy and two girls. And then I've always been really keen for my daughters not to be held back by being female. And I think a nice thing is the generation that they've grown up in, they don't feel like it's an issue. Whereas in my generation, being female was an issue. So it's, I think it's changed quite a lot, and I'm really pleased for them, and I'm really pleased that I've been involved in this initiative. And one of my daughters, in fact, the 12-year-old one, she's at university studying a STEM degree.
So, good on her. What did she want to do, out of curiosity?
She's not 100% sure yet, but something probably, she's interested in cancer research or working in some sort of research to do with the human body.
Wow, good on it. We're going to start wrapping up in a few minutes. It's, what else? Do you have anything else that you want to share? Is there something that we haven't covered that you really, that you want to communicate?
What do I want to share? Let me think. We've had quite a wide-ranging conversation. Right. Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm really lucky to be able to share my story. And I suppose if anyone listening wants to learn more about Esuna and what I do, you can find me on Pinterest, Facebook, or Instagram at Esuna Inspired. Oh, I know what I can tell you. Esuna, the name of my company.
Yes.
Esuna is she is in Spanish, because in that language they nominate masculine and feminine, and Esuna is the feminine. But it's not why I called my company Esuna. My grandma was Una, and she was such a dynamic lady. And she was the kind of person, whenever something new was on the shelves at the supermarket, she would always be the first one to try it. Like a real out there go-getter, she tested everything. And she would never leave her house without a whip of colour across her lips. And she'd put her lipstick on, and I just remember she'd put it on and she'd dab it with a tissue and reapply and have a bit of powder. And it gave her the confidence to take on the day. And so I wanted to call my company after my grandma, Una, but the domain name Una was gone. So I had to slightly modify it to Esuna.
So that she is. Lovely. That is lovely.
Yeah.
You'd certainly take after your grandma and say that. Tell people again how they can get in touch with you, and all of the details will be on the website on the show notes that go with this episode as well, but just tell us how they can get in touch with you.
Okay, so Esuna is esuna.com.au, or Instagram and Facebook handle is at Esuna Inspired, or one word.
Do you ship your products abroad as well as in Australia,
or just overseas? Yes. Mm.
Okay, cool.
Yep, you can buy it online and I'll ship it anywhere. Yeah.
Fantastic. That was the other thing. That's been on my mind for a little while and I forgot to ask it like an idiot. But anyway, there you go. Thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun talking to you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Karen.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Life After Menopause. We look forward to talking to you next week. Make sure you connect with us on social media and click on the subscribe button so that you don't miss another episode. See you next time.